Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In hopes that these, my first words from this pulpit on a Sunday, won't be my only words, I turn to the last words of Ludwig von Beethoven. Turns out there's a lot of choices. First, plaudite amici, commedia finite est, which you know from the Latin is applaud, my friends, the comedy is over. Or about the wine that arrived a little too late for him to enjoy. In German, he said, schade, schade, zu spät, pity, pity, it came too late. And my favorite, I shall hear in heaven. Beethoven died in 1827, age 56. When he was 28, Beethoven began to lose his hearing, which as a musician, a lover of music, a composer by training, this news was, of course, crushing. Beethoven wrote to his brothers that his oncoming deafness had, quote, brought him to the verge of despair. He questioned whether he could go on. It was his art and his creativity, God-given gifts, that saved him. Again, in his words, it seemed impossible to leave the world until I had produced all that I felt called upon me to produce. And so I endured. Endured he did. In the end, he produced somewhat upwards of 722 pieces of work, including his Fifth Symphony, one of his most famous. You know this symphony, of course, by its prologue, its first four notes. That was fun. These four notes cue us, listeners some 200 years after his death, as to what we will get as the symphony plays out in the battle between minor chords and major chords, between the hope and the adversity, between darkness and light. We know this symphony by its prologue, that short opening that is small but oh so significant to the whole piece. If you didn't know it, our reading today from the Gospel of Luke starts with a prologue, one sentence in four verses that set the stage for what is to come. I'll read it again. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. If you are wondering what these verses have to do with the birth, the shepherds, the angels, the star, the manger, the mother, the child, the teaching, the healing, the dying, and the rising, you wouldn't be alone. This prologue has been cut off from the church's reading of Luke's gospel for centuries. But what if we kept it, as we are doing today, as the writer and so many Christians have long done, reading this prologue with and as the rest of the story? I mean, imagine Beethoven's Fifth without those four notes. This prologue, confusing as it is, clues us into what is to come, opening up the whole story and helping us to see it in a different and more meaningful light. When we read this prologue, let's keep in mind that Luke's gospel was a letter written for its readers. It has a direct object. It doesn't exist for itself, but it is meant to be shared, to be read in community. This letter is addressed to Theophilus. Theophahu? Theophilus, which means friend of God, or one whom God loves, whoever is regarded as God's beloved. Theophilus could have been a person, and Theophilus could have been anyone and everyone who would come to read these pages. Readers like you, like me, like Luke. God's beloved, who were not eyewitnesses of Jesus, and yet have come to believe. This prologue clues us in to the fact that Luke was not an eyewitness. He relied on the eyewitness account of others. He wasn't in the shepherd's field or near the manger. He wasn't in Jerusalem on a Friday during the Passover, or 3 days later when the stone was rolled away. He didn't hear Jesus' teaching or see his healing, and yet he has come to believe. Faith was passed on to Luke. He, in turn, sought to pass faith along to others and to strengthen them in their faith. And so for the past 2,000 years, faith has been shared, one believer to the next, in a symphony of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and one another. Our gospel stories were written down and handed down a generation or more after Jesus' death and resurrection, when people felt the need to gather Jesus' stories in scroll and ink so that they would not be lost, because they were worth saving. Luke is a highly educated, thoughtful, and careful witness, one who has gone to great lengths to learn and tell the Jesus story, one that readers can trust. Luke writes good, reliable, and authoritative history, factual, chronological data taken from many eyewitness accounts. But the prologue helps us to know what it is all for. Luke does not write his story only for the sake of history. He writes to encourage and strengthen the faith of others. Because it's one thing to know the facts about Jesus, and another thing altogether to trust that Jesus is for you. The Jesus story doesn't live only on a page, or as an idea, or up here, or out there, but also in here, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our lives, among our neighbors. Jesus was born, lived, died, and was raised for you. This faith makes a difference for us. Back to those four notes. Beethoven, that they were fate, suggested that they were fate knocking on his door. All of us know these minor notes. It can feel like fate knocking on our door, something we cannot escape, something we are powerless to overcome. A diagnosis, an illness, a death, a loss. These notes leave their mark on our lives, just as Beethoven's deafness would leave its mark on the rest of the pages of his life and music. But remember that these notes are only the prologue of Beethoven's symphony, and there is so much more to hear. He doesn't give up. Beethoven hears in heaven what we hear even now, as the symphony of our lives and God's love plays out in the battle between hope and adversity, between darkness and light, sickness and health, death and life. Faith teaches us this, that when fate knocks on our door, it is God who answers. Not with an idea, not with words on a page, but with a person, Jesus, who is the Christ. In all that we struggle with, in all that we face, we are not ever alone. For God has entered our story. Christ has come for us to make us his own. God comes to us in a manger. God seeks us when we are lost. God cares for the poor and the outcast. God's love will not end in death. So as we open these pages of Luke's gospel, may the Christ who journeys with us open the scriptures to us and show us that he is with us and for the whole world. Like Beethoven's Fifth, Luke's prologue is not the whole symphony. There is so much more to come, and it will take your breath away. Spoiler alert, God holds the last note. God's love wins. Amen.